Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. David in Murfreesboro texting in, says, shout out to the MTSU Blue Raiders. Michigan State knows who they are. Is that a shot at you, Rex Road? I can't tell.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know why it would be a shot at me. That was an incredible moment in my career. Now I get to tell story time and get all excited to talk about college basketball.
Yes, please do.
I've told this story, but whatever. You have to listen to old people's stories over and over again anyway. Get used to it. So I cover Michigan State, the top number two seed. They just missed out on a one seed, 2016. Denzel Valentine, great team, national championship contender, playing Middle Tennessee and Murfreesboro. I had accepted the job at the Tennessean like 2 weeks earlier, and my new editor at the Tennessean, Dave Amenhauser, said, stay at the Detroit Free Press through the Michigan State, go to the Final Four, just cover them, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, you start here. All right, cool, sounds good. So, sitting there, it's like, this is wild. I'm meeting some media people. I'm going to get to know Kara Hammer and Big Joe, and like, hey, look at these people. I'm going to know you soon. And then Middle Tennessee just absolutely shocks Michigan State. And, so I had my goodbye party with Michigan media was impromptu that night. It was like, whoa. But meantime, Michael Anastasi, executive of the Tennessean, during the game texts me and says, hey, can you write a column for 1A of the Tennessean tomorrow on Middle Tennessee? And I'm like, no.
Yeah. Can I do that?
I'm covering a catastrophic loss on my beat right now that's going to be like, you know, like – and it was just like, we'll take it late if you can do it. So the next day, the Tennessean was like, who's this doofus writing this column in the Tennessean about the Blue Raiders? But there you go. But we got it in. We made deadline. I actually stayed in St. Louis with the Blue Raiders that weekend. And that was a heck of a team with Geddy Potts and all that. Reggie Upshaw, they were a really good team. It's actually really unfortunate that they had Syracuse, because Syracuse is one of those teams, you know, if they get in the tournament, they can lose anybody, but that zone is such a problem.
Almost beat Duke yesterday.
Oh, they did. They did. Which I think we're kind of going to talk about, by the way. But that if they had just like a non-weird team to play, that team was good enough to be a Sweet 16 team, those Blue Raiders. Giddy Potts. Michigan State fans still hate like Giddy Potts. I took the boys to a Belmont Middle Tennessee game the next year. Our first year in Tennessee, and Brennan was so – he was like, I hate them. He was like all mad at the Blue Raiders still. Like, I'm like, what? These guys are good. Like, Giddy Potts are good. Like, oh, I hate them. I'm like, all right. Well, I guess root for Belmont then.
Just totally destroyed a young Michigan State fan's childhood.
Oh, exactly.
By the way, Adam is totally right. I can just see the joy in your eyes right now when you're talking low college basketball. It's unbelievable.
See, I can't – for people who are just listening, you can't see the weird faces I'm making. I'm doing like the Bob Knight game face.
Anytime we talk Bob Knight, that's good stuff. So you brought up Duke and Syracuse yesterday, Michelle. For a while, it was looking a little hairy for the Duke Blue Devils. Now, they ended up pulling it out and getting it done, and we'll see what Duke does for the rest of the tournament. But the reason that maybe that could have been important was if Duke goes down yesterday – maybe that opens the door for Tennessee to slide in there and maybe capture a two seed if they're able to make a good run here in the SEC tournament. So we'll still see what happens on the Duke front of things. But if Tennessee, Joe, let's say they go on a run here and they get to the final in the SEC tournament, or let's just say they win the SEC tournament, what do you think the chances are that the Vols may be able to capture a number two seed in the NCAA tournament if they're able to have a good showing this weekend in Tampa Bay?
Well, I think that they should be better than the bracketologists think they are. I kind of get it. So it's interesting. So one big thing with Tennessee is, you know, they don't have any bad losses at all, which is a big deal. Like Duke does. And if you want to talk about, Tennessee's, like, I'm trying to get these numbers of comparison, like non-league strength of schedule and all this stuff, way stronger than Duke. You know, so the reason that Duke matters with Tennessee is that Duke right now is locked in probably to be in Greenville, South Carolina.
It's amazing how that works out.
Yeah, well, but actually most years it's like Charlotte or Raleigh, right? And it's like Duke and UNC are both there. But Tennessee, if Tennessee were to be ahead of Duke in the pecking order, then Tennessee would probably get a Greenville. I think Auburn is going to be a team, I think they're going to get Greenville for sure as a one or a two. They're going to be the other team. But Duke should be kind of vulnerable compared to Tennessee. You know, the thing with Tennessee is, again, they're eighth in the net. Their strength of schedule is eighth. Their non-league strength of schedule is 16th, okay? And, again, they don't have anything other than a quadrant one loss, whereas Duke Duke actually has three quadrant two losses. Their non-league strength of schedule, 110th. But Duke beat Gonzaga on a neutral site, beat Kentucky way, way long ago, but it's still counts in your resume. Another thing with all this is, look, it's still subjective. Yes, they're very metrics-driven. They go by the numbers, but that committee, it's still subjective. So if you go by eyeball test, like if Tennessee does win, and let's say Duke stays wobbly this weekend, one, I think that would favor Tennessee. And two, I just think overall they actually have a better resume. The only problem for Tennessee is their wins are all at home.
Yeah.
And that I think is going to be – that's so there's a lot of Vols fans out there like, oh, we're way better than Duke already. But you got to get some of those big wins away from your building. So this is that opportunity. And I think if Tennessee – you got to beat Mississippi State, obviously, and then you got to beat – well, frankly, you need Kentucky to beat Vanderbilt is what you need, because you need wins that will actually improve your profile. So if you get Kentucky, you get Kentucky tomorrow and you beat Kentucky tomorrow, then I think you're in play for the two, for a two, and then maybe for Greenville, which, of course, would be a much easier drive for a lot of Vols fans than Pittsburgh. Right now it looks like Pittsburgh, but also Purdue. What if they get bounced early? They've kind of wobbled late in the season. Could Indianapolis be a possible site for Tennessee? I think that's also in play. But, yeah, they should be considered very close to a two seed, and everybody I see out there has them as a three.
Now, how much would it matter if you get a win against Kentucky Saturday and you get a win against, I don't know, Auburn in the final this weekend? That's two more pretty big wins on a neutral site. How much does that matter in this discussion in your mind?
Well, look, I think that the problem is, and at least it's earlier, but this has definitely been the case with the Big Ten tournament. They always play right into the selection show, right?
Yep.
And so there have been times when the committee's had an either-or situation based on that, but for the most part, the title game doesn't even factor into to the bracket. Now, SEC being earlier in the day gives you a little bit more chance of that. I mean, if Tennessee beats an Auburn on Sunday, I don't know how you're not a two seed. So maybe they'd be an either or they would, or they'd have time to give them a two. You beat Kentucky and Auburn this weekend on a neutral site, and frankly, I think they're going to be more fans of both teams if you want to, like discuss it. And they'd talk about everything in that committee room. I've done like the mock committee thing with the media. They talk about every possible thing you can talk about. Now I think they should be a two. The other thing, of course, that Tennessee fans will be quick to tell you, but it's Coach K, and it's Coach K's farewell, and it's Duke, and so whatever benefit and advantage they can give Duke, they're going to give him. Now, people on the committee would point their finger back at you and say, like, we take our jobs way more seriously than that, but I understand the sentiment.
I understand the sentiment as well, especially, like, maybe that committee is scared that if they give Duke a three seed, Coach K is going to walk in there and just be like, hey, be quiet. Stop. Be quiet.
Everybody shut up.
Anytime.
Now listen, I have a when I coach Chris Ken, we did not do things like this. I don't have a very good coach, K. It's not very good.
Anytime I have a chance to bring that up over the next 2 weeks, I will do so. There's no question about it.
Yes.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Weekend winners coming up at 9:30. We'll have some picks for you. Big weekend here in the world of sports, both here locally and in the college basketball world as well. We'll take more of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, we spent a lot of time talking about this Tennessee team and Kennedy Chandler and Josiah Jordan James and what he brings to the table. Obviously, Zakai Ziegler and the revelation that he's been this year. You know, I almost feel like we've come to expect a certain level of play out of Santiago Vescovi. How much credit does he deserve for what this Tennessee team is, what this Tennessee team has become, and maybe what their potential could be as they now head into tournament time, starting today with the SEC tournament, but in the NCAA tournament as well?
You trying to get me even more excited by promoting my newest story on theathletic.com?
Actually, exactly what I'm doing.
Well, I did write about Santiago Vescovi today. Now that you mention it, Robbie. There we go. A great tune, by the way, Michelle. I caught the intro tune.
Listen, I got into a dark hole of watching One Shining Moment videos the other day. It was like an hour and a half went by, and I was like, okay, it's time to stop.
What a real spicy take from me. Can't stand that song.
What?
Real spicy take from me. Don't like it.
That's a toughie, man. All right. Now I have to do story time real quick before we talk about Vescovi.
Okay.
Let's do another old man story time. So back in the 2000 year, I helped the Lansing State Journal's coverage of Michigan State winning the national championship. We did this huge special section after it. And so I just did a story for it about the guy who wrote One Shining Moment. And I feel terrible that I forget his name. I could Google it probably. Other people have written about him. But I think I may have written one of the first ones on him. So he was a dude who lived in that town in Lansing, Michigan, and he went to this bar called the Varsity and watched the Celtics-Rockets 1986 NBA Finals game. Like Larry Bird had like 50 points or something.
David Barrett.
Thank you. There you go. David Barrett. Really nice guy. And he went to the bar. He was hitting on a waitress, and he told her, man, that's Larry Bird's shiny moment or something like that. And I don't really know what else happened, but he wrote the song based on that night at the bar in Lansing, Michigan. There you go. Story time.
Nicely done.
A wonderful story in the Lansing State Journal special section in April of 2000.
I'm sure it was.
Anyway, but the Vescovi story, he ran 463 miles in practice this year. Now, it's hard to put that into context. It's like, okay, that sounds ridiculous, right? But they have – Tennessee invests – like as in athletics, I'd say as much as any athletic department, they try to be absolute cutting edge. And Garrett Maidenwald is their very, very renowned strength coach, right? I mean, in fact, Dana O'Neill for us wrote a huge story on him a couple years ago, but they have chips. They're called Kinexon chips in their shorts. So they track every movement in practice. And this is to help them individually, but also so he can tell the coaches, hey, when we did this, we had this success. And like they analyze everything. They have these whoop bands, okay, that track their sleep. So these whoop bands that they have on their wrists, you go through a day and it's like whatever you did, your exercise, whatever you ate, all this stuff, it will tell you at night you need 7 hours and 53 minutes of sleep tonight. You must get that much sleep. And then if you And then it'll track your sleep. It'll track your deep sleep. And if you don't get enough, then you have sleep debt. The goal is to be at a half hour or less of sleep debt every day. Anyway, okay. All these things are, again, this is an, so the story I wrote is a lot about like what they do. Like they, it's incredible, really, the detail. Also how sleep, and we know the Pharaoh is one of those big advocates, right? It's become like nutrition has been a relatively new thing, but now sleep is a big thing. Can you get to deep sleep? Garrett Maidenwald told me yesterday at practice, he said, you create more human growth hormone when you are in deep sleep than at any other time. And injury avoidance is a huge, is hugely tied to deep sleep. First of all, that makes me think that like the three of us are going to just start, our bones are going to start breaking as we walk down the street. You know?
Yes, like, it does.
But of course, Vescovy, who's way better this year than I think people realize, is like, he's like an elite sleeper and, you know, he eats fruit all day and all these things. But he's been really good this year. And I don't think people realize or appreciate how good he's been. He's been their best player.
Is he an NBA player in your mind?
Probably not. I think Vescovy is one of those, and you have to have these in college basketball to be successful. I think he's one of those really good college players. He's going to play for 4 years. I'm not saying he couldn't get a shot in the league, but I do think that he's certainly a good international player somewhere, and he'll probably play for the Uruguay national team too. So, I mean, he's got a good career ahead of him in basketball. I don't know if he quite at his size and everything, if he's quite an NBA player. We'll see, though. Look. If he keeps getting better, he shoots like 50% from three next year. He shot 45% this year in SEC play. I mean, if you can shoot well enough at this point, like elite levels, you can be in the league.
Well, what blows me away about him is how much better he's gotten defensively. Like he is so much better defensively now than he used to be. Now, I don't know that he's ever going to be like some elite defender or anything like that, but I mean, we used to talk about it when he first came around of, whew, he's got some work to do on the defensive side of the ball. He's gotten a lot better in that area.
Which is so much about all of this, like the transforming the body, you know, getting rid of the fast food, sleeping all the time, but working out like crazy. I mean, he's completely changed his body. He doesn't really – like if you watch like video of Vescovy from 2 years ago when he came in, he probably doesn't look all that different on the floor, but he's totally different physically. And that's – how you become a better defender. He's also a guy who, you know, SEC teams have known all year that they have to chase him off the line, that they can't let him have threes. He's been the most consistent part of this team offensively, and yet he led the league. He actually led all players in all major conferences at 44.5% in league play. So that's significant. I mean, he hits big shots. He also more than doubled his two-point baskets, which tells you he can get to the rim now. You know, he's totally different. He goes up from 8 points a game to 13.5. It was good to see the coaches give him first-team All-SEC, and it was another example sometimes of media voting. A little bit shaky. He didn't get first or second team with media. This is, you know, basketball ignorance on display with the media voting.
Get after the media then. Go get him.
I don't honestly don't even know who has the votes, but it's pretty stupid.
I wonder what my body would look like if I got rid of fast food. Could I be as in good of shape as Santiago Vescovy?
Yeah, well, if you can also sleep 12 hours a night and have like 7 hours of deep sleep. I have like 8 minutes of deep sleep a week, and then I have to go pee. Like it just doesn't work out. You know?
Shout out to Santiago, though. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jacob from Murfreesboro texting in says, speaking of MTSU, they're two wins away from dancing. If yes. MTSU gets the auto bid out of their conference, Memphis, Tennessee, UT Chattanooga, and MTSU will all go dancing. Hashtag basketball state, baby. Come on.
No doubt. Now, MTSU, they got a real chance. And it's probably going to be North Texas. Everybody thinks North Texas is going to get there, but they got a chance. It's been a huge year for Nick McDevitt, coach of the year in that league. And hey, what about Vanderbilt? What about Vanderbilt? They're still alive.
They're not done.
Jerry Stackhouse brought five suits and he told his assistants, don't get on that plane unless you're bringing five suits. And then he's like, they probably didn't all bring five suits, but hopefully they at least brought like five shirts. And they're like, yeah, that makes sense.
How many people own five suits?
If you wear a suit all the time for your job, probably, right?
Yeah.
I've got five.
More than five. Well, then there's two out of three on our show.
Okay, yeah, I don't have five suits.
I just wonder, like, how many people own more than five?
I think I have, like, maybe four, but two of them are laughably so small for me now because they're old. I have, like, two that maybe I could cram myself into. But Stackhouse, I bet you has, like...
Oh, I bet he's got 150.
He's got some suits. I mean, this is Jared should be excited about this, at least.
Oh, yeah. A lot of suits for Stackhouse. You know,
come on, Jared.
Keith on the text line says, if the olden times is now the 2000s, I'm in big trouble. It's coming from Keith on the text line.
You and me both, brother. We are dying.
When we come back, it is time for Weekend Winners here on the program. We've got a lot to get into this week on Weekend Winners. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of action taking place this weekend. Two huge games for the Nashville Predators, the SEC tournament as well. We'll get into all of that and more here on today's edition of Weekend Winners. Joe Rex Road, a quick standings update in the competition. Quite the week for Rex Road last week.
Does it have to be quick? Let me go through all my amazing picks. You know, if you thought that my eyes lit up talking about college basketball, let me just tell you about my 6-0 week, which means 7 points getting my lock, which leaves me at 13-5, 16 points, 3-0 my locks. But we all had good weeks. Robbie went 4-2 with his lock. Michelle 4-2 without the lock. Robbie 11-7, 14 points right behind me, 3-0 on his locks. Michelle 9-9, 9 points. The big difference is 0-3 on locks. Still very early, but got to get the locks going.
Question about it. So Rex Road leading the competition right now. So Rex Road, we begin with you on our first pick here today on Weekend Winners. The Vols taking on the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Tennessee favored by 7 in this game. Vols -7 in this game, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Joe Rex Road, your selection between the Vols and Mississippi State.
This is a tough one. I think Tennessee's going to win, but I definitely believe in the team that played the day before has a little edge sometimes. And I just believe in these games a lot of times ending up closer than they should be on paper. So I'm going to take those 7 points, Mississippi State. I think Tennessee's going to win by about 4 or 5 points.
Give me Tennessee and make it my lock. Ooh. Locking down on the Vols. I'm all for the Vols here today on the program. I think they win by double digits.
Sorry, that was a little late.
It's okay. I think she heard me say Vols lock and like just immediately tuned me out. That's what happened on Michelle there. I understand. Vols -7 lock. I feel good about it, Joe Rex. Or Michelle, Tennessee and Mississippi State. Vols favored by 7.
I'm going to go with Joe on this one. I could very much see a similar outcome to the Arkansas game where they're up by a lot in the first half and then it gets a little bit closer down the end of the stretch. I think it's very possible Tennessee wins by 7, but like Joe said, I think Mississippi State coming off that game, I think they have a little fire under them, already played once in Tampa. So give me Mississippi State plus the 7.
All righty, moving on to Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Kentucky -11.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'll start on this one. Give me Kentucky. I think Kentucky gets it done by about 12 to 15, somewhere in that range. 3 games, 3 days. I like the way Vanderbilt's playing, but I just think Kentucky's going to be too much for them. So I will take Kentucky -11.5 in the competition. Michelle, your thoughts. Kentucky -11.5 against Vandy.
It makes me nervous. It really makes me nervous. Last week I picked Florida to win, which I thought Kentucky was going to win, but morally I was like, let me just pick Florida just in case. I didn't want to superstition anything. I think it's very capable that Kentucky wins by 15, but I'm going to go Vanderbilt in this one. I just think Vanderbilt's been on a roll. They had a great win last night. 11.5 is really big for this tournament game. So give me Vanderbilt plus 11.5.
Joe Rexroad, Vanderbilt and Kentucky. Vanderbilt trying to stay alive in the SEC tourney. Kentucky favored by 11 and a half.
Yeah, I'm same. I'm same kind of idea with Tennessee, Mississippi State. I'm going to go with the I'm going to take those points. I like 11 and a half. I think Vanderbilt keeps this to single digits. You know, I think Kentucky probably pulls away a little bit late, wins by 8-10 points, something like that. But I like the 11 and a half, and I do think that Vanderbilt is going to come to play tonight. And you know, you made the point earlier, Robbie, that first game of the two in 2 days, they definitely got a ton of rest. So I think they still have legs for this one.
All right, big games coming up this weekend for the Nashville Predators, beginning tomorrow at home at Bridgestone Arena, the Blues and the Predators. We start on the puck line on this one. Tomorrow's game only. We'll get to the Sunday game coming up here in a minute. The Blues and the Predators, Michelle, who do you got in this one?
I've got the Predators in this one. I think they're going to have a three-game home sweep this week. I think that switching up those lines, feel pretty confident in this team. So I think they're, which is going to be a huge win if they can get it done tomorrow against the Blues.
Joe Rexrode, the Blues and the Predators on the puck line. Who do you have?
Preds lock.
Ooh, locking down.
The Blues aren't playing well. The Preds are. They've gotten some things figured out. They know how important this game is. I really like their chances here to really make it interesting in the Central as of Saturday afternoon.
I'm going Preds as well. I had Matthias Ekholm, game-winning goal and call your shot Friday. So give me the Preds to get it done, a close one tomorrow against the St. Louis Blues. Maybe overtime involved. We'll see what happens on that front. All right, Sunday, the Preds traveling to the Minnesota Wild, taking on the Wild in the second half of a back-to-back. Joe Rexrode, we begin with you. Who do you have between the Preds and the Wild coming up on Sunday?
Yep, give me the Wild on the second day of a back-to-back. I think asking for four wins in four games a little much for the Preds. You know, the Wild just had a wild win over the Red Wings, by the way.
Wow.
How about that? But, yeah, I think on the road, back-to-back, give me the Wild.
I'm going Preds. Statement weekend for the Nashville Predators. I think they get it done. They win both of these games back-to-back. So give me Preds on the puck line against the Wild as well. Michelle, Preds and Wild on the puck line.
Robbie, I got the. I have the same thought process as you. I think Preds are going to get the W this weekend and going to be looking strong heading into playoffs. Give me the Preds.
There we go. So now we move to the individual portion of the program. Michelle, kick us off with your first individual selection.
I've got another SEC basketball game, Arkansas versus LSU today. Arkansas is favored by 2. I already said this in Call Your Shot Friday. I think that LSU is going to make a little bit of a run in this tournament. Arkansas, I just haven't seen any of that spark that we saw against Auburn a little bit earlier in the season. Give me LSU plus the 2, and I would take them on the money line as well.
So the Tigers plus 2 against the Hogs coming up later today down in Tampa, Florida. Joe Rexrode, your first individual selection.
Yeah, I'm going up to the Big Ten tournament. This is one of those things that I really believe in college basketball too. It's a lot of times you'll see a team in a conference tournament or the NCAA tournament have an insane offensive day, and they just look unbeatable. And then the next game, it's like totally different. So Iowa scored like 200 points against Northwest yesterday. I don't even know what that – they had like 16 threes in the first half or something. It was stupid. And Iowa's capable of stuff like this. Like, they're a very talented team. Playing Rutgers. Rutgers held them to like 40 earlier this season. Rutgers is getting 7. I think Rutgers mucks this game up and maybe even wins it outright, but keeps it way closer, makes it a totally different kind of game. So give me Rutgers in the 7.
Joe Rexrode all over the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers, plus 7 against Iowa. Give me the Miami Heat, minus 6.5 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Jimmy Butler the other night against Phoenix. They got destroyed by the Suns the other night, and they did not shoot the ball well at all in the second half. They respond with a much better performance tonight. Give me the Heat, minus 6.5 against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Joe, your final individual selection.
I'm staying in the Big Ten. I like these inflated lines. Penn State, Purdue. I just told you, Penn State, that called a shot. They're going to shock the world. They're going to shock Purdue. Purdue is minus 10. I love that. Please give me Penn State in the 10 points.
I will go with the Pittsburgh Penguins, minus 1.5 against the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Vegas on the second half of a back-to-back. They got some problems right now. Now, you can view this one of two ways. They got embarrassed last night, so maybe they come out with a better effort tonight against a good Pittsburgh team. I don't believe it. Give me Pittsburgh Penguins -1.5 at home against the Golden Knights on the second half of the back-to-back. Michelle Konezvic, your final individual selection.
Okay, I was going to try to find another game quick, but Joe, I also had Penn State-Purdue. I saw it at -9, but I was going the same thing as Joe. So plus, we'll go 10. Plus 10 for Penn State. That's going to be my lock. And yeah, let's get ready for some college basketball. I'm so excited. Robbie, I also love when you sprinkle in a little NBA action there.
Oh, I'm much more likely to bet on the NBA than college basketball.
There's no show in town that's going to be more honest about their love for Penn State basketball than this one. And no one's going to be honest with you like this show will about how great Penn State hoops is.
Nobody will be more honest about their love for Kentucky basketball in Nashville than me on this show.
Well, I can say that pretty confidently as well. This has been Weekend Winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Good luck this weekend. It's been a good competition so far. Our records are pretty good 3 weeks into the competition, I will say.
Some better than others.
Some.
Yeah, we get it. Mine sucks.
Some better
than others. That's all I'm saying.
He just said he's in first place.
Yeah.
Not for long, Rex Road.
He's going to soak it up. We'll come back. We'll react to some of your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Also get to a pretty cool day yesterday for Nashville SC as well. That's coming up on the other side. Hey everybody, Robbie Stanley here to tell you about my friends at Jasper's. As the neighborhood bar and restaurant to catch the next Preds game, which by the way is tomorrow, Jasper's is located on Weston Avenue and offers a fun atmosphere with a game room, TVs, and a large bar and lounge area. Plus they offer free parking. We know what a big deal that is on West End, and offer specials for every Preds game day as well, including $10 smash burgers and $3 bottled domestics. So come on down to Jasper's next game day for happy hour every weekday from 4 to 6 and 2-for-1 beers all day on Sundays as well. Just tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in says, just an observation on NCAA basketball. Do they still have the three-second rule under the rim like the NBA? Because it seems like they're popping tents and camping out down low. Or are the refs just letting them play? This is coming from Ron on the text line.
Liam Robbins got called for a three-second call last night. Yeah, they saw that rule.
Now, I feel like you have to be there for more than 3 seconds for them to actually call it. But, yeah.
Yeah.
They got the rule.
Oh, for sure. But I think that's true in any almost at any level, right? It's like you need about 4.5 seconds when you get popped.
Yeah. But, hey, they still got it. They're not changing all the rules yet. Need to work on the block charge a little bit, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah. If college basketball refs would just call it to me like NBA refs call it, we would have a lot less flopping.
Yeah, no question about it. Joe, some cool videos came out yesterday from all sorts of Nashville media around here. Checking out Nashville SC's new stadium. As we know, Nashville SC building a new stadium over by the fairgrounds. They're moved to the Western Conference this year. So on the pitch, off to a good start. One win, one draw so far this year. They'll take on FC Dallas coming up tomorrow at 7:30. But I got to say, I've seen the renderings and I've seen kind of the updated progress and got some good friends over at Nashville SC. So I've kind of had an idea of what's going on over there, but to see it with the grass out there and the stadium pretty much complete at this point in terms of at least the inside portion of it, looks pretty awesome. Like that's going to be a pretty cool environment over there at the fairgrounds with Nashville SC. They'll be home later this summer. They're starting off the season basically entirely on the road, and we'll see how they can handle that going to the Western Conference as well. But stadium looks pretty awesome.
One of those videos I thought was actually like a cartoon, like a virtual video. And then it was like, wait a minute, that's actually a real video.
Yeah.
And then I saw, then Big Joe had one where he's like stumbling all through the concourse and finally gave us a shot of the field, but it was nice. It looks fantastic. And I went over there when they, shortly after they broke ground, went over there one day, they had like a media thing, you put on the hard hats, and it was, you could see from like the ground level. Like, man, it's going to be cool, but it looks cooler than I even envisioned. It's going to be great. I mean, perfect atmosphere, perfect size, brand new. It's going to be really cool. Geodis Park? Yeah. Or is it Geodis?
I say Geodis.
This is like GIF and JIF?
Yeah.
Which is it?
I don't know. I say
Geodis seems right, right?
Seems cooler.
Yeah, let's go with that. But GIF, it's GIF. It's not JIF.
Now you're going to get people arguing with you on that.
Well, Teresa Walker and I have had these arguments, and she says the maker of GIFs calls it GIFs, and I say, I don't care.
What do they know?
Yeah,
what do they
know? Exactly. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to heading over there and checking it out this season when they start playing over there. It's going to be awesome. You know, it is kind of funny to think about, like, Nashville SC this time, 6-7 years ago, NPSL team, and now we're sitting here talking about a MLS stadium coming to town that looks awesome. Like, it's going to be, you know, obviously a large soccer-specific stadium, and that was kind of the big deal made of it when Nashville SC was awarded the MLS franchise. And, you know, Don Garber was talking about that left and right, about soccer-specific stadium and the size of the crowd. I think it's going to be great. And from everything I can tell, season ticket sales are going pretty well for Nashville SC as well. So it's going to be awesome to see what that looks like. And by the way, looks like they're going to be pretty good yet again this year. So, you know, Mike Jacobs and company, the job that they've done building this thing from the ground up, obviously Gary Smith as well, but the job that they've done making them competitive right off the bat. I mean, they're in the Western Conference this year, which is supposed to be more competitive than the Eastern Conference, and I feel like they're going to be right there.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a contending team playing in your new stadium. You can't really ask for a better start as an expansion franchise in any sport. You know, you really can't. So credit to them. They've got a really good team. You have some of the same names year after year. You've got guys who – the fans, they identify with. They grow an attachment to some of these guys, Mukhtar and Zimmerman and all these guys. And it's cool. And I think it's been a great atmosphere at Nissan, honestly better than I would have anticipated in such a massive stadium.
Yeah.
It's been good. But this, you know, it's the perfect size. I think this is going to make for like a really compelling environment, the type of thing that even for people who aren't soccer enthusiasts, you go to one of those games – and you're going to have a blast.
Yeah, it's a great environment. So looking forward to that, you know, as that stadium continues to be worked on and Nashville SC returns home here in a couple of months. Joe, do you think any more moves happen with the Titans this weekend? Saffold out, Darrington Evans out, Kendall Lamb out. Could we see any more movement take place this weekend?
I think Jackrabbit Jenkins has got to be on that list. I think TD kind of brought up a good way to look at that. I guess you reverse what he said. Like he said, if that's the case, that means that they must feel pretty good about Caleb Farley. I would flip it around too and say, if they don't cut Jenkins, then they must be really concerned. I have to look at it that way, because look, even if you cut Jenkins and there's a lot on Farley, of course there should be. He's a first round pick. He's your first round pick last year. Like, there should be a lot on him. You invested all that trust in him, so you should trust him. But even if you do that, and maybe Farley, you know, the rehab is slowed down, whatever it is, you do have Chris Jackson. You have some other guys who have been pretty good fill-ins, and you can still draft a corner too. I don't see how you don't cut Jenkins and save $7 million plus, given where you are right now.
Yeah, I would expect that to happen at some point. I'm very intrigued to see what they do about Zach Cunningham. Is he coming back? Is he coming back at that price? Does he want to rework a deal if the Titans approach him with that? That's going to be really fascinating to see, because as TD pointed out, like, you can see the intrigue there, having those two, you know, Zach Cunningham and David Long Jr. in the run game, with as much as they're just launched towards the football. It'd be great to have. I don't know if it's worth the price that Zach Cunningham has attached to him right now. So I think it's pretty obvious the Titans want him back. Will he come back at that price? That's another thing I'm looking at. Maybe we'll get some clarity on this weekend or early next week. Free agency beginning March 16th, although legal tampering a little bit before that, Joe Rexroad. So lots of tampering going to be taking place.
And illegal tampering has been taking place for months. So
yes.
Yeah, it's all a process. But, yeah, you're talking let me do my math, Wednesday, quite a week ahead. You got that. That'll be you know, that'll be the second day of the first four, the NCAA tournament starting next week, and free agency. So, man, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on.
By the way, 2 years ago today, Joe Rexroad, 2 years ago today, the NBA suspended its season after Rudy Gobert tested positive in OKC. It's incredible to think about. That seems like a decade ago.
Yeah, it does. I was in Bridgestone for the SEC tournament, SEC men's tournament. All of a sudden, my Twitter feed was just filled with video of Rudy Gobert touching microphones and stuff. And then all of a sudden, like every the chain reaction of that whole thing was, we were just talking about that actually yesterday at the arena here. A couple other media people just like, man, it's the same thing you just said. Like 2 years ago, it does not feel like it feels way longer. So much has gone on. A lot of it not great, but the full arenas right now and where we are feels pretty good.
How happy are you to be down there in Tampa Bay this weekend? Going to be some good basketball. Already been some good basketball.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday, the Vandy game and the Florida Texas A&M game was awesome. So, yeah, I'm pumped. I'm looking forward to some good ones today. And I'm obviously tonight, the two local teams going at it back to back, Tennessee first, then Vanderbilt against Mississippi State. And I forget the other team that's in that quartet, but
they wear blue.
Some so-so team with an average.
Don't worry, you won't forget their name after tonight, Joe.
Oh, listen to that. Yeah, BBN.
I have been like wincing this whole show every time you guys talk about the matchup because I'm very nervous just about every game. You should have seen me against when they played Florida last weekend. They kept them to within 10 points the whole game, and I'm still just so stressed.
Hope you two enjoy the 85 degree and 77 degree weather in Tampa this weekend while I deal with the snow tomorrow here. That'd be fun.
That sounds great. We'll send some pics.
Yeah, we will.
Michelle, come find us, Michelle.
Please do. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rexroad. Joe, Michelle, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
You too, everybody.
We'll be back Monday morning. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.